The brand new Dark Chest of Wonders subscription service is available now, offering a monthly delivery direct to your door and including a selection of luxury exclusive items. Our practical products include Dead Gardens Weed Killer and the HN branded pan for all your cookery needs. We also include our Candle of the Month, including much loved scents such as Ever Dream of Me, The Hiding Amaranth, and our March special, The Scent of a Woman Was Not Mine. Place your order now and shudder before the beauty of the greatest subscription box on earth, the Dark Chest.
The Dark Chest.
All the elements of what I love about Nightwish.
Do you think you'll listen to some more Nightwish now?
Oh yeah, I love it.
I don't know what I'm listening to, but I like it.
Come on guys, don't let me down. Decades Tour 2, I want to see this one on the set list.
The podcast and the pendulum.
The podcast and the pendulum.
I can honestly say that intro is the dumbest thing I've done in the history of the podcast, but I enjoyed it. I had fun. Welcome to the podcast and the pendulum. My name is Simon. As always, I hope you know that by now. Thank you for joining us. We're almost halfway through the season, which is blowing my... No, in fact, we are. This is episode 55. Gosh, 55 episodes all about Nightwish. I want to say a huge thank you to everyone that heeded my call last week and shared the podcast far and wide. Hannah, Chaz, Aaliyah, so many of you. Oha, of course, who put it on Reddit. I shouldn't have started naming names because so many of you are so kind to share it. And honestly, I see every single one and I'm so, so grateful. I hope that you enjoyed last episode. I saw that many of you are taking part in the night question. But before I go on to the night question, actually, I think some really good news is the fact that a lot of people really like For the Heart I Once Had. So my research was telling me, you know, most people weren't keen on it, but we got a lot of rave comments. So Ree said that it's the perfect song for Annette's voice. It got a bit of the vamp and epicness that I expect of Nightwish, but kind of toned down a bit. I love the guitar. It's different, but not bad different. I actually really like this song. Hannah did say she's 50-50 on it. If it's on, she'll listen to it, but don't typically go looking for it. Aaliyah actually said this song definitely gives her the feels. Zane, who was in our fan jury last year, said he absolutely loves it. Crownless Ace of Spades says, very underrated song and gives him a laid-back 80s pop vibe. Enzo also said he loves that one, and his first email account was For the Heart I Once Had 2003. I won't tell you. Well, I can tell you, actually. My first email account was Prisoner of Desire, and then I also had Monolith of Doubt, so two After Forever references. So clearly I was always destined to follow Floor's career from back when I was a young teen to this very day. And Juan said this is absolutely one of his favorites from Dark Passion Play and the Annette era in general. And Juan left such a lovely message. Thank you, Juan, for catching up with the podcast right from the start, and I do hope that you are enjoying it. So on to the night question then. I asked you last week, which Nightwish song do you just not really vibe with? Oha Cade from Valcada said A Return to the Sea, probably not that controversial as it's a B-side on their oldest, least popular album. I feel like you're right in that it doesn't have that huge impact. Sometimes I kind of forget how that one goes, actually. Who is next? Ina says a handful of songs from the earlier albums don't really vibe with her, including Crownless, Tenth Man Down, and some of the more obscure ones. But everything from Century Child to Imaginarium was perfect. I definitely connected less with their last couple of albums. Endless Forms, Most Beautiful, Elan, and Procession are a pass for me. Okay, so you definitely like those central years. Although, you know, I'm going to call you, Ina. Tenth Man Down, it's a classic. You know, just give it another listen. I promise, it's amazing. Aaliyah said, honestly, pretty much only Night Quest, and I was so happy to have somebody else that didn't like Night Quest. I remember when I did that episode, I felt like the only person in the world that hated that song. And although this episode did make me like it a little bit more, it's still not my favorite, okay? I'm sorry.
Sabrina said, "Procession, slow, love, slow. Wish I had an angel in Slaying the Dreamer because she grew tired of them. And Master Passion, Greed and others from the first three albums that I don't remember because I probably skipped them." So there's something to be said about the songs that we do remember, even if we remember them for all the wrong reasons. I will always say, and I'll stand by this to the day I die, I would rather hate something than be indifferent to it. I'd rather the band do something completely left field that does not vibe with me at all, rather than just do tried and tested, boring songs that give no surprises at all. Chaz said, "Slow Love Slow" and the trash emoji. She said, "I'm literally not putting anything else other than that emoji." We should definitely get you on the episode when we do Slow Love Slow, Chaz. Seems you have a lot of opinions about that one. Who is next? We had Madeline, who said that the last two albums, she feels like something has been lost, but if I had to choose one song, it would be The Carpenter, because that song is awful. And Rhea actually agreed. They're strong albums, but without the pomp and bombacity of the early albums, Wishmaster, Century Child, Once, etc. Blanche said, "It might be strange, but Elan." And Crownless Ace of Spades said he hates that song and it's their worst single by a mile. Now, I do love Elan, but I know there was a little bit of a backlash when it came out because it was so, so different to what we expected. Victor said, "Harvest, Elan, and I Want My Tears Back." Seems the folky vibes are not really resonating with you, Victor. So I'm curious, what do you like the Islander? Moondance, or is it just anything folky you're just not really vibing with? Gawain said, "The demo for Poet and the Pendulum." Well, it is a demo, I guess, so maybe they won't be too upset that you're not keen on that one. Hectoral says, "Meadows of Heaven. I've tried, but nope, I just hate it so much." Gospel Not For You. Alan said, "Harvest, Two for Tragedy, and most of the first album." Alan, I never knew you didn't like Two for Tragedy. I'm not sure if we can continue our friendship now I know that fact, but I'll give it some thought. Seth says, "The whole new album." He's not the only one, actually. I think a lot of people are not really keen on it. I absolutely love it, and I know a lot of other people do as well, but can't love everything. Zane said, "I love the majority, but if any song I should mention, it will be My Walden. It's unstructural, weak, and so is Dead Gardens." Oh, Dead Gardens. Looking forward to mentioning that one. I think I mentioned it in the last episode as well, actually. So it's getting quite a bit of airtime before its own episode. Enzo says, "Master Passion, Greed." Kirsten said, "Probably Crownless." Now, Crownless Ace of Spades is probably going to disagree with you on that one. It is his username. Books and Purrs, Sunako says, "Our Decades in the Sun is about the only Nightwish song I continuously skip." And she is not the only one. Miranda said, "Our Decades in the Sun, the only track on Alice Horn's Most Beautiful that I skip." I love that one. Oh, if you go back to the episode, you know, it just makes me so emotional. Oh, Daniel Conomer actually also said, "Our Decades in the Sun." Daniel is from Raise Your Podcast, so Within Temptation podcast. He said it's one of the only consistent skips when it comes on. Oh, that makes me sad. I didn't realize so many people didn't like that. But hey, what can you do? Mon Musique, who is an Italian language, I think, podcast. She said, "Scaretel," because it's so cringe. Now, I don't know if it's cringe. I mean, I kind of look forward to Annette saying pigs. Everything else, maybe Margot's intro can be a little bit on the nose if you're not really into it. Ree says, "Slow Love Slow." Now, we know she wasn't going to mention Harvest because she's the Podcast of the Pendulum biggest fan of Harvest, but she said, "I already had a hard time listening to the Imaginarium album. Please don't come for me. And this song is just not what I listen to Nightwish for." Juan is back. He said, "This is an easy one for me. The original version of Astral Romance, just impossible to listen to after the remake because Thomas's voice is rough." And as his conversation with Joanna went in the comments, it's pretty difficult for Thomas to stand up against Tony Kakko when that got re-recorded. But at least he did what was right for the song. George says, "Harvest." So last week we got a bit of Harvest love. This week we've got a little bit of Harvest
dislike. And Alan said that Troy is living his Cliff Richard fantasy on Harvest. So there you go, can't win them all. So really interesting, actually, to go through that list. And some songs I absolutely agree with, and others I'm like, no, like Our Decades in the Sun is perfect, but so many people just don't vibe with it. That's what's so interesting, and that's why I love hearing from you all, because we've all got very different opinions, haven't we? Well, this is certainly a song that I'm sure you will disagree in the comments, because every time I say something concrete, I'm like, all Nightwish fans like this, or all Nightwish fans hate this. There's a lot of you that disagree. So I'm gonna keep it neutral. I'm gonna say most fans will agree that this is one of the band's most epic songs, one of their most beloved songs, and a real fan favorite. So today we're gonna be talking all about Once, the remaster. Not gonna be a fun discussion. And Dark Chest of Wonders. Also going to be talking about album openers, fan favourites, and live set openers. So it's going to be a good one today, and all soundtracked by the very first song on Once. A real watershed moment for the band, and surely one of their most loved songs after all these years. Let's chat about Dark Chest of Wonders. A few weeks, or maybe even months ago now, time has flown, I had a question from a listener called Cecile in France, who was catching up with the podcast after she discovered it. And she said, please do a podcast on Dark Chest of Wonders, because it is my favourite and the total best opening song on any Nightwish album. So hi, Cecile, if you are still listening, I hope that you are. But you got me thinking about that very statement that you made there. So I decided to sit down and try and be as objective as possible about what is the best album opener in Nightwish's history, considering numerous things like the impact that the song has even years later, how inviting it is to the album, and how representative it is of the album, all that kind of stuff. And I suppose in many ways, Dark Chest of Wonders is, exactly as you said, the ultimate album opener. It's bombastic, infectious, dramatic, and beautiful as well. It really is a masterclass in symphonic metal. And the definition of fan favorite, since it was never a single, but it seems to come up there as one of the band's most famous tracks. It was included on numerous compilations as well, especially considering that they had so many huge singles at this time, like Nemo and Wish I Had an Angel. This one almost is an unofficial single from the Once era in many ways. Also, according to Setlist FM, Dark Chest of Wonders is the band's fourth most played song live of all of their entire career. And yes, it does beat out all the other album openers. But even still, thinking about it with those topics in mind, let's have a look at the competition of the other album openers in the band's history. So Elvenpath, as with Angels Fall First as a whole, often feels like a bit of an outlier, with a bit of an unfair disadvantage when you compare it with the grandeur and just the more opportunities that were given to the band later with their material when it came to session musicians and orchestras and stuff. And I think Elvenpath is an interesting insight into the band, but quite clearly, no, Dark Chest wins out on that front for me. I do think it's a better introduction than Elvenpath. But perhaps the biggest competitor, and dependent really on whether you like your Nightwish more orchestra-driven or more guitar-driven, Stargazers might actually be really tough competition. My personal adoration for Once really kicks in, and I would say that I prefer Dark Chest to Stargazers, but I can definitely see a lot of listeners preferring that, you know, Oceanborn classic, and the response when they pulled it out of the vaults to perform it live on the Decades Tour was insane. So definitely a lot of fans out there for that song. And she is my sin, damn. So this one is hard for me, because this song is an absolute favourite of mine. And it is a song, objectively, that has stood the test of time. It's still been included in the set list all these years later. And in fact, personally, I think I would say it's my favourite Nightwish opening track. But I am going to accept that its legacy just doesn't feel nearly as enormous or successful as Dark Chest of Wonders. So I'm going to put my feelings aside on that one. And yes, once again, Dark Chest would take the win. Bless the Child, immense, perfect, did an episode on it about how great it is and really is the perfect opening gambit for Century Child. It's got that mournful mid-tempo. It actually takes a slot that's usually reserved for a bit of a heavy hitter. So it does make it stand out, but yet again, I'm going for Dark Chest because I think that one, it really hypes you up from the off in a way that maybe Bless the Child doesn't. But that's because the concepts that we were going for on Once and Century Child are so different. Damn again. I nearly forgot. Well, I clearly forgot about this one. The Poet and the Pendulum, of course, is the opening track on Dark Passion Play, aka one of the band's most loved and revered songs by listeners and critics. And apparently there's even a podcast named after it, which is, who'd believe? But I feel maybe in some ways like this one is a bit of an outlier because of its length. I should tread carefully because I know so many of you love this one and I do too. And it is incredible. Like it's up there as one of my absolute favorites, of course. But I feel like if you're not thoroughly aboard the Nightwish train, and arguably most listeners were back then, there's a lot of hype after Once waiting for Dark Passion Play. I'm just not sure, is it the most welcoming taster to sit through 13 odd minutes of a really emotional song as well with some really dark lyrics? I'd probably say, if this isn't sitting on the fence too much, my call is that for existing listeners who love Nightwish, then maybe The Poet and the Pendulum is the best opening gambit. But I'm willing to say that Dark Chest of Wonders is actually much more accessible and inviting for any newcomers to the Nightwish world, which in many ways I think is what an opening track has to do. Maybe less so in the Spotify world, but more so when people were, you know, buying albums to try different bands and see what they liked. You want to grab them from the start. So going through the next few, I almost feel like skipping over Taika Talvi since it is somewhere between an intro and a full song. So it feels almost like it's already on the back foot. And we insist on a fair fight here on the podcast. But Shudder Before the Beautiful, this one's interesting because I feel like it's maybe the closest recreation of Dark Chest of Wonders that we've had since Once. It's not your standard song structure since it pushes out to 6 minutes, I think, but it's still heavily reliant on hooks and that symphonic sound. And it's not to say that it's recycling old ideas and trying to copy Dark Chest of Wonders. I just feel like the end goal for both of the songs seem to be the same. Very bombastic, very gets you really hyped up for the album and the opus that is to follow. And once again, gauging impact, it's Dark Chest that takes it, even though I really like Shudder Before the Beautiful, and maybe again, personally, prefer even Shudder Before the Beautiful. But last but not least, Music from Human Nature, it definitely treads a different path to all of the other songs with that extended, and it's almost an ambient intro, isn't it, which pushes the song out to, I think, around 7 minutes. So maybe it asks just a tad too much patience than your casual listener might be able to offer up. So my very quick scientific experiment concludes, and I actually reckon that if I put my personal feelings aside, Dark Chest might well be the best opener of a Nightwish album. So Cecile, I think you might be right, especially when it comes to various things like appeasing your existing fans, but also welcoming in new listeners, having an impact beyond what you might expect from your standard album track. But having said that, do I think that The Poet and the Pendulum, She Is My Sin, Shudder Before the Beautiful are better? I do, very much so, personally. And I actually think She Is My Sin is my absolute favourite. But a lot of that comes down to, you know, personal experience, my own nostalgia of hearing Nightwish for the first time on the Wishmaster era. But I'm gonna give the award for best opening track to this week's song, Dark Chest of Wonders. But I am curious now, what do you all think? Do you agree, or are there any songs that you think stand out even more? But all of this does lead really nicely onto our fan jury, who this week were asked to ponder what is the best opener in a Nightwish live set, because Dark Chest of Wonders quite often gets that opportunity. So it's a slightly different remit here. I think almost always on the live scene, we're looking for a dramatic explosion of an introduction that kind of sets the precedent from the off. So here's what the fan jury thought, and we're going to start with Peter.
Well, I think Shudder Before the Beautiful was a perfect and bombastic opener. Although, if I have to choose a new song, I'd love to give the opportunity to Endless Forms Most Beautiful. It has enough time to play a long intro, to let Floor come on stage, and to get like a lot of pyros and other special effects. They give the opportunity to give that little extra through their show.
To me, the best live opener is none other than the Song of the Day, Dark Chest of Wonders. I mean, a lot of Nightwish songs are great for that purpose, but Dark Chest just has that extra kick. Even the band seems to keep on coming back to it. For example, during the Imaginarium and Decades tour, they eventually dropped Storytime and End of All Hope to give the first place back to Dark Chest of Wonders. So yeah, no point in listing all the great songs because Dark Chest of Wonders is the best song to open a Nightwish show with, period.
So the best song to open a concert has to be, of course, Dark Chest of Wonders. It has to be the one. It is the one song that has consistently survived its own album tour as the opening song. That must be for a reason. Dark Chest of Wonders just starts off perfectly for an album and a concert. Once I had a dream, and this is it. Bam! And you fly to a dream far across the sea and all your burdens are gone. It's amazing. It just should open every concert ever. But I suppose we do have to make space for new songs, don't we?
Thank you to Peter, JP and Joanna for sharing their thoughts. And make sure you let me know yours as well by commenting on that very night question on Instagram. What song do you think is the best song to open a Nightwish set on the live scene? If you get in there quick, I'll read your answer in next week's episode as well. But I definitely concur with what we heard there from Joanna and JP in particular, that Dark Chest serves as a perfect explosion of energy and bombast that frames a Nightwish set perfectly. Although I do feel a slight tinge of disappointment, because when I saw the Decades tour, as JP alluded to, they had replaced End of All Hope as the opening track with Dark Chest of Wonders. Of course, that's kind of omitting the little Swanheart interlude at the start. And it's no shade to Dark Chest at all, but End of All Hope for me just felt so fitting to the theme of the Decades tour, in that it was bringing out songs from the vaults that we hadn't heard before. And I was so excited when I heard that that was the opening track, that when we did get Dark Chest, although it was incredible and epic and amazing and got the crowd riled up just like an opener should, maybe a part of me was a little bit sad, because I'm confident we're going to hear Dark Chest many times in the future. Not so confident that we are going to hear End of All Hope again. But just to kind of give both sides of the argument even, I think maybe the band just fancied a change for their second leg of the Europe tour. Looking at the dates that the band played on the Decades tour, they actually returned to a lot of the places that they had performed festivals at on the second leg of the European tour. So it could be that they wanted to offer up something a little bit different for the fans that were returning to see them headlining their own show. So I'm very willing to forgive, okay, I completely understand. And as we heard from the fan jury, clearly this is a song that people love to open a Nightwish set. But I am going to keep my fingers crossed for End of All Hope coming out again, at least some point in the future. We clearly know that Floor can do it now, so Thomas, maybe. In Dark Chest of Wonders, it might transport many people back to that golden era of Tarja's time with the band. It was a time when the band really started to make waves, featuring on magazine covers, venturing to new territories, and just generally see a level of success that eclipsed everything they've experienced before. I love talking about Once songs and kind of revisiting this time where it felt like the band absolutely catapulted. They've always been on an upward incline, is that the correct word? But for this, between Century Child and Once, it just felt almost worlds apart from the band that they were to the band that they became before Dark Passion Play. But Dark Chest of Wonders is actually also Floor's inauguration into the band, at least one of them. If you follow her journey through the Please Learn the Set List in 48 Hours documentary, which was when, of course, Floor ventured to join the band in the US almost at last minute, Dark Chest of Wonders was one of the songs, the third song in the set, actually, that she lay her vocals on. So that audience in Seattle were very lucky to hear Floor's very first renditions of all of these Nightwish songs. But it was also the opening track on her first official release with the band, Showtime Storytime, and a perfect set opener for a festival crowd, definitely, and a really great opportunity for Floor to demonstrate her skills from the off. Dark Chest really is a great one for seeing what Floor can do and just, you know, letting the crowd know you're in safe hands. Don't you worry, Floor has got this covered. I wanted to go over a Once song on this season. I mean, I normally try and do one song from each album. But Once in particular, if only to wax lyrical about the recent drama of the Once re-release. So I've been saving this up, okay? I could have covered this off in my little intro bits, but no, I was saving it for the Once episode. Now, I have to be honest, I can't say I personally was too excited about the Once album being re-released. I have to confess, I am an absolute novice when it comes to like the technicalities of remasters. And most of the time, the subtleties of a production and such is completely lost on me. I'm all about the songs, the music, the way it makes me feel, the lyrics. But the recording, the mastering, you know, all of that stuff, they have to be really off for me to even clock it or even notice that something is wrong. So let's just put it that way. But still, I know that there's so many collectors out there and a huge swathe of the Nightwish loyalists were pleased as punch to get a fresh remastered version of Once, but maybe not so much when their copies actually arrived. So this, I guess, for all intents and purposes, is a release for the diehards, isn't it? The ones who would happily, you know, shed out their euros for some songs that they probably already owned, let's be honest, in this fresher, sharper master. And these people seem to like have a keen ear and eye for detail. You know, that's exactly why they're buying this release. So how disappointing that this is exactly where the issues are with the Once remaster. And there were quite a few. It felt like every fan that was receiving their copy in the first few weeks of release ended up disappointed and were posting on social media about that disappointment, and I completely relate to it after all of the hype. Now, I'm going to say that this is probably most likely not a band issue. I think most of the errors will come down to, you know, poor checking and approvals, and generally it just feels like a bit of a rushed cash grab. And when it comes to a remaster and, you know, pushing something out like this, I really do think the onus is very much on the record label, even more so than on a brand new studio release. You know, that's all about the band's composition, what they've come up with. If there's issues with that, absolutely, you know, throw it at Thomas and Co. But when it comes to something like this, this is really, it has the record label written all over it, doesn't it? But it's just no fun, really, for all of the people shedding the money out for what was being promoted as a really gorgeous, expansive edition of an album that is loved and treasured by so many people. After what I said earlier about not really being into remasters, not really getting it, I was kind of tempted to buy this just because of how much I love Once. I've bought the album in numerous versions just because I love this album. It was such an important, vital album for me and my journey with Nightwish, so I'm kind of glad maybe that I didn't. So anyway, let's get into the actual issues. So firstly, the track listing is wrong. So before you've even put your CD in your player or your vinyl on your turntable, the track listing is wrong. So the third disc, titled Bonus Tracks, actually had three songs missing from it. And had that been the only issue, it probably would have been quite easily overlooked, a little bit like an Easter egg, like three extra tracks. You know, you're not going to complain, are you, that you're getting three more tracks than you like? It's a nice surprise, but not so much when you take it in the same stride as all of the other things, and there are a few. So Nemo, a firm favorite, and let me remind you again, a release being eaten up by those who love the crisp, finesse sound that is being offered by the marketing team at Nuclear Blast. So imagine their disdain when there is an actual glitch in the song, in the sound recording, on all of the versions. Even on Spotify at the time, I'm not sure if it got fixed, I think it might have done. So that's the music issue, a track listing issue, so surely that is all. No, the lyrics are of anything all over the place. So Reddit users, including a user called Infinity Zcraft, spotted all of the places that the lyrics got misprinted or totally messed up. And this is very different from the missing out of like one word in Planet Hell, again, forgivable. But then there's the complete wrong lyric order in Quilema Takita Italiana. It opens with a lyric that is not what Taria sings in the opening. And I can't say this enough, the fans buying this are going to notice. If anyone is going to notice, it's these fans. And I really do feel for all the listeners who went out and bought this, especially if it did ruin your experience of the remaster. You know, that really is no fun at all. And I'd love to hear from any of you that reached out to Nuclear Blast. Quite a few people said that they were going to contact them and see what they were going to do about it. I'd like to know if you've got any feedback or anything that is interesting or worth sharing. But I did notice one Reddit user saying that Nuclear Blast replied to their complaint and said that they're not going to replace anything because the Nemo error is minor. And then they suggested just follow the usual returns policy for the store you bought it from. But again, if this was a brand new album full of brand new songs and material, then I would concur. I would say, okay, yes, it's minor. They'll fix it on the future presses. But when it's a release, that's whole selling point is hinging on improved quality. This is just not it, Nuclear Blast. It is not it at all. So if any of these issues I can kind of consider with a silver lining, I think perhaps it's the lyrics and what some are actually saying. I'm not sure how founded this is. The lyrics seem to be from demo versions that have been printed in place of the final versions in the booklet. So Romanticide has an entire hook that isn't included in the song and is repeated in the lyrics twice, which goes, I feel no more, taste no more, care no more. And then this week's focus track, so we're bringing it full circle, Dark Chest of Wonders has some lyrical tweaks as well. So the Age I Learned to Fly lyric becomes the Age He Found the Spell. It was all magic. And then later on, the chorus lyrics are reworked. So All the Burden's Gone becomes Give My Stars a Chance, Open the Chest of Night. So I'm going to be honest, definitely preferring the final lyrics that Thomas went with, but they're quite an interesting thing to read. And actually, I think in many ways, if those were the lyrics that Thomas went with, it would give quite a different reading to Dark Chest of Wonders and the whole theme of the song. It would be so much more magical, but I'm not sure I'm down for that. I quite like what we went with in the end. So a huge thank you to all of the Reddit users for sharing the whole mishap of that remaster, and I do hope that you aren't too disappointed. But it only feels fair to stick with our clan, our Reddit clan over there, and look at the Reddit knockout for once. So this album is packed. I know I say that's for a lot of albums, but this one in particular is packed with hits. So I was really curious to see which song would give you know who a run for its money, because we know who won this knockout, don't we? And Dark Chest of Wonders was actually the one. It finished in a really respectable second place. And actually, I'm going to take that back because I think respectable, it feels like a bit of an understatement, because when you're going up against the mighty Ghost Love score, second place, I think it can be pretty much considered an honorary first place in my book. So Dark Chest of Wonders, you aced it, you killed it. Clearly, people love this song. And it isn't too surprising because as we discussed earlier, this song is the epitome of the term fan favorite. The band have quite a few in their career now. Some of them we still hear from, some of them not so much. So I thought it'd be interesting to kind of share what I think are the ultimate fan favorites and see if you agree and let me know what you think are the fan favorites. So again, as earlier, I'm trying to be objective. These aren't necessarily just my favorites, although I do love some of them, but it's songs that I think as a fan community, we just seem to go wild for. So what even is a fan favorite, I suppose it's good to kind of define what I was kind of judging these songs against. And I kind of consider fan favorites to usually be songs that were never singles, but like this song, Dark Chest of Wonders, they somehow take on a life of their own. You know, the songs that somehow manage to find themselves on random compilations, just like this one did. And the song that like every fan is bursting to hear as soon as Nightwish take to the stage. And, you know, songs that will always get this riotous roar from the crowd as soon as the opening riffs are played. And maybe even as well, songs that casual listeners are really shocked to maybe find out never were singles because it feels that they're so fundamental to the band's story and their sets. So I'm going to be honest, I'm not actually sure we have too many from the first two albums. Perhaps Stargazers and Gethsemane, but they're far from being set staples in the way that I think the other songs in my list are. But definitely, especially the, you know, the power metal legion of Nightwish fans, they are really up there. But I think the first one in their career that can really not be disputed comes in the shape of She Is My Sin, the first track on Wishmaster. If I were to choose a song to give a proper single push to, I reckon that She Is My Sin would have been the better choice on Wishmaster. Even above songs like Deep Silent Complete, which was released as a single, and The Kinslayer, which got the promo rollout. I think they were the only two. And this, it's a song that has, it's really done its time, shall we say, in the Nightwish catalogue. And yet it still sits perfectly amongst the more bombastic songs from later in their career. It's a real moment in their set. So it's a huge kudos to She Is My Sin for, you know, achieving that. It would be very easy for a song from their earlier years to kind of pale in comparison to these huge orchestrals. But of course, this song I'm going to talk about next is not in their live set anymore, sadly. But we cannot ignore the title track from that album. The original viral sensation of Fishmaster, or as we know it, Wishmaster. Just, I mean, what more could I say? A complete anthem, and again, another stellar choice for a single from its parent album. I think if I didn't know the singles, I would have just assumed that this was a single. It's known by so many fans around the world, and a lot of casual fans as well. So it's not just the diehards, but that for me is definitely a fan favourite. I actually think if we look at the Over the Hills EP quickly, that we saw the burgeoning of a new fan favourite on the Decades Tour in the form of 10th Man Down. But I am gonna say, I'm not sure if that's just me loving that song so much, but also us fans who were just really surprised to hear it. Maybe it was just a case of the surprise overwhelming us. I'm not sure. What do you think? Would it have been a fan favourite if we started to include it in the set more often, or would it have lost some of its magic? For me, it's one of my absolute favourites. I would love them to, but I appreciate maybe not everyone would feel the same way. I think on Century Child, Everdream, of course, is a set staple, but it was a single and is kind of expected. But Phantom of the Opera for me is probably the fan favourite from that album. Again, the band don't perform it live anymore, despite Floor covering it with Henk Poort on Bestes Angres and a lot of rumours that it was going to be included in the set list again. But I think Phantom of the Opera really made waves for Nightwish in lots of different circles. You know, this metal cover of this classic song, it got them a lot of fans. And if there's one that absolutely rile up the audience from the Annette years, it has to be Last Ride of the Day. Again, another song that stood the test of time, is constantly included in set lists, album campaigns later. And I'm also going to include Alpenglow into that. I wonder again if it's a little bit early to say, I know it's been like 10 years, but that it's a fan favourite. But I do think that it really fits a special role, and it was included in the Decades Tour on a few shows, I believe. So it clearly it does have that longevity. It'll be interesting to see how it stands. But it's another one a bit like Last Ride of the Day that as soon as you hear those opening synths, everyone just goes absolutely wild. And once again, a song that if I was a casual fan, I might have been surprised wasn't a single, and Endless Forms Most Beautiful and Elan were not necessarily the most obvious single choices. So let's have a quick look to finish at Human Nature. This one, of course, we've not really seen live, so it's hard to say. But from the fan reaction, I could definitely see a song like Shoemaker becoming a fan favourite. Definitely a song that I think will get people very excited in the live set. But again, with fan favourite, you have to see how the reaction stands over time. It's not just everyone screaming because the first few times we've heard it. It needs to return tour after tour and still get that same response. And I also think that Pan could be a similar one in the vein of Last Ride of the Day, Alpenglow. Very bombastic and fun and perfect for a live scene. You know, a lot of the fan favourites I'm choosing are very evident on the live scene. I've not chosen any ballads, actually, because I think a lot of what makes a song so revered and adored and most evidently loved is on the live scene and in the live set and when we see the audience physically reacting to the incredible songs. And of course, I didn't choose Ghost Love Score in there as well, because for me, that's just next level. Just like I said, it's not really fair for other songs to go up against it in the knockout. I feel like it's hard to put Ghost Love Score in any of these little categories that I do because it's just, it stands above everything, you know. Of course, it's a fan favorite, but it's so much more than a fan favorite. It's a fan expectation. It's a fan requirement. Imagine going to a Nightwish show these days and not seeing Ghost Love Score. It would just be a travesty. There would be uproar. There would be petitions. So I guess I should mention it, Ghost Love Score in there as well. So that is all I'm going to say on Dark Chest of Wonders, on the Once Remaster, on fan favourites, on live sets. We've been actually going through pretty much the band's entire career a few times over in this episode. So I hope that you've enjoyed it. I think Dark Chest of Wonders is a really nice place to kind of plant your feet and turn around and just look at the amazing career that Nightwish have. Looking at things like their incredible live sets, the way we feel when they first open a show, and a song like Dark Chest of Wonders, as Joanna said, is such a wonderful introduction. Once I Had a Dream and This Is It. It really is transporting us into Nightwish's world. And for those hour or 2 hours that we're stood there in an audience watching Nightwish, we are just absolutely transported and in another place with the band, with their music. So this song is gonna have a really, really special place in a lot of people's hearts, not to mention, as I've alluded to a few times, what a special album this is. And this opens up the entire Once journey. So this very much is an opening kind of song for me on the live set, on the album, and opening up a brand new era for Nightwish, as well as Once just absolutely transformed their career. Of course, we would have a few issues after the Once era, but it really was, like I've said a few times, such a watershed moment for the band. So thank you very much for sticking with me. Always lovely to chat with you, especially about Nightwish. Please do talk to me back. Respond to me. Don't leave me on read, sis. You can email me at thepodcastinthependulum@gmail.com. You can also comment on my Twitter or Instagram. The username is Podcast Pendulum. There's also the Night Question. I want to hear what you think is the best song to open a Nightwish live set. So make sure you make me hear your opinion, especially if it's not Dark Chest of Wonders, because, you know, I like a bit of variety. I like you to surprise me, and I like you to make me think, you know, throw out there, say to me that you want the opening to be Two for Tragedy. I'll be in tears in the first few minutes, but maybe it will be an interesting way to open a show. Who knows? And actually, next week, I need to say I'm going to have a week off. I need to catch up on a few things. Also, I have a very busy month coming up next month, so I want to get ahead on a couple of episodes. So please bear with me. I know last time I disappeared, I went away for a year, but this time I am definitely going to be back in a week, okay? So don't miss me too much. I'm just having a week off. I'm just putting my feet up as much as I can, and then I'll be back to talk about more Nightwish with you. So the wine is calling my name. I'm going to say goodbye, and I'll speak to you very soon. Bye! The Podcast and the Pendulum is a fan-run podcast not affiliated with Nightwish, Nuclear Blast, or any associated companies. We release new episodes every Wednesday. Please like and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast.